The judge who presided over the church court that was trying Father Lawrence Murphy on charges he abused deaf boys in the confessional, Father Thomas Brundage, has written an article in the Archdiocesan newspaper of Anchorage, Alaska, where he's currently stationed. The article is critical of the New York Times reporting on the Father Murphy case and seeks to set the record straight. Chris Altieri reached Father Murphy by phone Wednesday morning and asked him about the trial, which began in the mid-1990s on the explicit authorization of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which at the time was headed by Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger.
From 1996 to 1998, the trial lasted approximately 18 months and concluded with Father Murphy's death.
And at any time during that trial, did you have any pressure whatsoever from Rome to obey the proceedings, to suspend them, to push this under the rug, anything like that?
No, never. If anything, it was just the opposite. Rome waived the statute of limitations in this case. We were dealing with some extremely complex canonical issues because during that time, canon law was going through a lot of evolution. So I had to make both private and public discussions with Roman officials trying to figure out how to try a case like this. And as I say, you know, I had meetings with church officials in Rome, meetings with church officials in Washington, D.C., and I had complete assistance. And, you know, never once was I ever told to stop the case or to do anything less than proceed to its conclusion. Unfortunately, Father Murphy's death concluded the case.
We had a period of crisis, a period of soul-searching reflection. Now we're in the period of reform. Along that spectrum, mm-hmm. along that timeline, where and what, in your opinion, is the role of then-Cardinal Ratzinger and Pope Benedict? Mm-hmm. To say it simply, is he part of the problem or part of the solution?
He was part of the solution. In fact, he's probably been the most proactive major religious figure with regards to trying to deal with the sexual abuse of children in terms of preventing it, in terms of repairing or as much as you can after the fact and finding justice for the victims. There's a very noticeable change after 2001. Prior to that date, most cases of sexual abuse on appeal went to the Roman Rota, and the cases tended to just stay there a long period of time, and oftentimes did not seem to get resolved. After 2001, the cases were sent to the Congregation for Doctrine of the Faith. There was almost an immediate night and day difference. The cases were handled fast and fair, with the rights of everybody respected. And as Pope, no Pope has done as much as Pope Benedict has done in terms of publicly talking about the shame that has come to the church because of this, the filth of the whole issue of abusing a child, especially by a priest. And I think historically he will go down as being an extraordinarily powerful figure in helping the church to recover from this.
What do you think of the reporting that has been done on this by the Times that broke the story and by the other outlets that picked it up?
Well, I have to admit to being a little bit outraged, particularly by the New York Times and the Associated Press. In the online version of the New York Times, they felt free to quote me from a document that they got off the Internet. And I finally found the document, and I looked at the document and the quotes that were supposedly from me, and the handwriting was beautiful. My handwriting is awful. In fact, it's hard to even read my handwriting. And so, you know, I was a bit outraged that they would not have had the journalistic sense to at least try to contact the source of a quote like that. They also were well aware, having the case file in hand, of my role in the case. And it was just unbelievable to me, given the role that I had, that nobody had attempted to even try to contact me.
You're listening to Vatican Radio.